Welcome everybody. Thanks for coming. Well, we came here last night to practice it. Well, it didn't work, of course. So my usual tension, go home, re-enter, whole lots of things because I have to have all the back in. I thought I had it right. I thought I had a new method. But once you put it into PowerPoint, all those new methods don't work. So today is going to be a bit different, as Robin said. It's actually going to be hopefully joyful and just worshipping God and being... It's some of the things we do for Padstow people, so I'm not telling you you're old. I have revamped it quite a bit, but I haven't revamped it as much. Probably if I'd spent more time on it, I could have revamped it even more, but that wasn't the whole idea of it. So what I'm going to do is to start with a short prayer. So, our Father in heaven, the great creator of all things, we come before you today to give you honour, glory and praise with humble and devoted hearts. Thank you for creating this world with so many beautiful things in it to admire and marvel at. Please accept our devotion today. We pray as always through your wonderful Son, the firstborn of the new creation, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, there's a lot of discussion on Facebook sites and in many areas of the general Christian community, including Christadelphians, and controversy is building due to many Christians believing in the theory of evolution or some sort of God-created evolutionary process. Now, can you believe in evolution and the existence of God? I don't know. That's the question I'm raising. It's a rhetorical question, as my grandson would say. Grandma, you don't need to answer if you don't want to. Does one disprove the other? If you believe in evolution, are you out of God's reach? Some interesting things to ponder. Today, we are going to devote our time to reading, singing, listening to songs, and some short discussion on the glory of God in creation and how we can glorify God by displaying his character. And I'm not going to discuss the view of evolution versus creation because I don't know exactly what it is. If you've been to one of Bruce Phillips' talks, you could be there all week and still not know what it is. But raise some discussion of how we can still preach salvation to all people. I hope that by the end of the morning we will feel both at peace and revitalised to glorify God to others around us. So let's firstly look at the record in Genesis. Moses possibly saw a type of movie of how the current world came into existence. Opening and closing scenes of evening and morning. God told and possibly showed him this way that he created something out of nothing. And that's the main point. We don't know how he did it, how long it took. It's not necessarily a day. Did God need a whole day to create things? I don't think so. It could have taken only nanoseconds or a million years. Time means nothing to God, as he has told us. But God did it. That's the main point. I believe that just as God had provided seasons, he also provided the workable timing of a week. As Rosemary alluded to, the days and the weeks, their timings for us. Not for him so much. Work 6 days and rest on the seventh. It's a healthy lifestyle. Work the land 6 years and leave it fallow on the seventh. These are all things that help revitalise the land and the people. So, let's get into it. Val's going to read Genesis 1, 1 to 19.
God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the Lord star. And there was evening. And there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called this dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, on the land that bear fruit exceedingly, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit exceedingly according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
That's right.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves above in it, about in it, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
So, creation is just the beginning of the salvation story, as we will see. Not a science text, but more of a family saga spanning many generations of dysfunctional families brought together in one book for us, the Bible. After the fall of Adam and Eve, God has promised to show mankind the way back to a relationship with him. Now, our first emotional song we're going to listen to is called Creation Sings the Father's Song. And let me know if it's too loud. This is by husband and wife, Getty. And there's some beautiful music they come up with, these people. So just enjoy.
Yeah.
I love that song. So it's the whole point, isn't it? It's the wonders of creation. So now we're going to have a reading. Shirley's going to do Job 36.
How great is God, beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. He draws up the drops of water, which distills as rain into the stream. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds? How he thunders from his pavilion? See how he scatters his lightning about him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike its mark. His thunder announces the coming storm. Even camels make note of its approach.
Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Of what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy.
In Job, God's taking credit for the creation and says it in this play. Not just once, but over and over again. Many times he explains how things work in a scientific way, such as rain coming from drops of water having been drawn up and an expanding universe. He lays claim to having made the animals, food, and the foundation of the earth. So he's quite proud of what he's got there. So, going into another part of the devotion.
Things like gold.
What are some of the qualities that God shows about his character in creation? Now, I was going to have these come out one by one, which is very fancy, but then I got to this new program in here and I thought, oh, I just can't be bothered anymore. It's too hard. I spent so much time, I wasn't going to try and do one line by line. So here we go. First part of it is. And this can be a bit of discussion area here. I've just put up some points. You might find some others. So I'm thinking of protection, because he provides the shelter of the trees. It's sort of everything. There's nothing being missed, is there? It's just I just can't get over how clever. I mean obviously God's clever, but when you see the poetry of the Bible and all the things that happen, I just keep marvelling at it. So he's got dens and caves, and a hen, he describes that he loves us the way a hen gathers her chicks, and he gives a mother's instinct to care and protect, and the eagles teach their young to fly, and then they'll catch them in the air if they start to fall. You know, I just think there's little instincts that he puts into things that you would not, you know, you can't explain how they get there. Can you think of other protection that he gives us? Well, I suppose one of them is clouds, isn't it, that protects us from the sun at times. And even in a psalm coming up later, you'll see some protection there about some of the things. So, and then I thought, well, he provides sustenance. And there's the abundance of food and the variety of food. And it's for pleasure, but there's vitamins and minerals. You know, I'm always looking up, my son's into all this nutrition stuff. He's always telling me what vitamins and things or proteins are in what foods. And, you know, and even just in the variety of the food that would have originally been in the garden of all the fruit and the trees of fruit and the herb-yielding seeds and things that they could have eaten. And he gives us natural resources. There's coal and things and for heating and the seasons for different types of food. So, you know, to me, that's another part of what he gives us. So,
variety.
It's the variety. It's just wonderful, and it's not just okay. This is what you need to live on, and here I'm going to just provide the bare necessities. There's beauty. There's colour. There's everything to make you want to eat it as well. The smell and
oh. Jenny can add it on really. Jenny says it's really good cook.
That's right. Well, it gives us the minds to do that, doesn't it? I mean, he doesn't, you know, the animals don't think, oh, I'll just have a salad for tea or something, you know. Obviously, there's grass, you know, I'm really good. But, you know, it gives them a few stomachs to handle the grass. It's just, you know. Well, that's part of my next one. Attention to detail. That's part of that two stomachs thing. Oh, that's what they call it, the kind of thing. Ducks. preening their feathers, and then those oils come and you know, the water just goes off a duck's back, as we say. And the ecosystem, how it all blends together. Something relies on something, relies on something else. It's all so intricately interwoven. And the atmosphere, just the right atmosphere for us, isn't it? And just happens to be the right atmosphere for the animals. I mean, we all breathe the same sort of thing and we get by on it, but on another planet, well, we wouldn't. Gravity. So we're not floating around the place. There's a tension, and you know, and the science, of course. And the scientists will know there's something in the Bible for them because there's so much there. That
the science has taught us how to use the sun.
Yes.
To heat.
Build it up. And store it. That's right. So then the other thing I thought of was discipline. How he sets boundaries for the species and how they breed within the species, as we saw in Genesis. He rules for his people to live by, the children of Israel, and a lot of those live for health. And punishment when needed to teach lessons and protect. And compassion. Now, it's not actually a creation thing, but it's part of the glory of God. And this is one of the things I want, you know, we need to explore as well. The glory of God isn't just his shining. It's not just the glow that comes from God. It's not just what he made. It's what God is. It's his character. And that's what he wants us to show other people. His character. And part of his character is his compassion. Caring for the widows and fatherless and downtrodden. I get really emotional when I hear about Hezekiah and you thought that I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. No, I think, sorry. Heals the sick by many miracles. Heard the cries of the children of Israel, rescued them from slavery in Egypt. Forgives sins from a contrite believer and wants as many as possible to be in his kingdom. You know, you might think of lots of other things later to discuss at lunchtime. And then one other, just final, if you go on forever with all these qualities, he so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might live and we might call him Father. So, you know, he's got, what's the word I'm trying to say? He's got not just an interest in the world, he's created it, and then he wants to keep it going, and he wants it to be the best world it can be. So that's his ultimate aim. So now we have another reading, Job 38. Now this is the one I gave that to you, did I? Oh, maybe that. Oh, sorry, Sheila.
Do you not want to?
Yes, but I thought I gave you another one.
No.
I thought I gave you, did I give you 31 to 37?
No.
16. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, Sheila. Look at that. I just didn't write Margaret's name on here. I thought I wrote your name on something else. No, it's you. 38, 16 and 22. I wrote yours on something else, so someone else has got that. Thank you.
This is God speaking to Job. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, the days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cut the channel for the torrents of rain and the path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert? To satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Is the rain of a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frosts from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Yeah, we all get a chance to sing. We did sing before. That was unexpected singing. That was good singing. That singing from the heart, isn't it? You didn't have any words there, but you knew what to sing. This one you actually have words, and it's Lord of all being, and it might sound a bit like, it can get a bit dreary, that song, if it's not sung. No, that's not the word I wanted, not dreary, but low. Yes, you won't do it through Rick. But you won't. This has got some beautiful accompanied orchestral sort of music done by the Alicia Burney people. So I've only got three verses. So get ready for it to start, because it does sort of start all of a sudden. Glorifying God's name in that firelight passage. Job 38, 31 to 37, followed by Psalm. Thank you, Jesus.
Job 38. Can you bind the chains of the age? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons? Or lift out the bear with its tusks? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are. Who gives the ice its wisdom? Or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds?
Thank you. I've never actually thought of a rooster having understanding. I thought it was very... Actually, I did have a rooster in, and then I realised in one of the songs, and I thought, what's it got that for? And then I realised I had it because of this. So I took it out. Yes. Psalm 95. Who have I got doing that one? Robert. Another video. This is a woman. Those who might have remembered, I once did we did something on faith, and it was blessing by this woman, the song, and she's written this indescribable song. And think about all the things we've looked at the moment about Pleiades and Orion's belt and the bear and all those things that we've heard, and hopefully you'll find some of that in this song as well. Kim.
Night after night they reveal knowledge.
They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound with all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and people in his faith.
Thank you. We're just going to have another sing along now. Oh, this is loud. Hang on, I've got to be careful with this one. Because it's, oh, I've forgotten his name. You'll know it as soon as you hear it. It's All Things Bright and Beautiful. So, yeah. And the words are up here, so we don't have to struggle. Harry Seacon, that's it. Psalm 36. Brenda.
Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Faith in God on the creation in 7 days, exactly as it is written, and later rethink your position on an evolutionary process, you could find your faith shattered. Sadly, some intellectual Christians may be in this position. However, if you have based your faith on the evidence that you have seen God working in the lives of the people in the Bible and in your life, and form a close relationship with God and Jesus, what can shatter your faith? Nothing the world or science has to offer can withstand the effect of the love of God in your life. God set in motion an ever-expanding universe, constantly evolving species, and even bacteria and viruses that can adapt to changes in environment. God created all of this amazing stuff. And then he created man to appreciate it. And then want to seek the Creator, as Paul says in Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in the temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their man. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. So he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. God is near us every day. We just have to open our eyes and humble ourselves to see him at work. All of us here have sought and found the Creator and his Son, and are also trying to reflect the glory of God in the way Jesus did, the way we live our lives. We in turn can encourage others to seek and know the Creator of all things, and God will use that small spark to ignite a fire in their lives. Just have a short closing prayer. We thank you, Lord, for being with us today and for continuing to give life to your creation by your Spirit. We pray that your Spirit will dwell in us so that we may bring glory to your holy name. Thank you once again for your most precious of all the creation, your Son Jesus. We love him and long to be like him and bring pleasure to you, our Father. Help us to grow into the type of children who make you proud to give your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Just one little final song and not many pictures, just to close up and just ponder about our Father. Father's love.